Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. My name is Naman Jain, and you're listening to my podcast, Research with NJ. So my name is Naman Jain, as you know now, and we're going to take some of the research in this pilot episodes that I'm doing, and we're going to talk about mostly STEM. That would include, in fact, economics as well. And which becomes as an acronym STEAM: science, technology, engineering, economics, and mathematics. So throughout like this season, we're going to talk about a lot of unsolved problems in economics, some of the recurring problems that happens, and how the economy is impacted, not just in India. I mean, like different countries around the world, developed, underdeveloped, and developing countries. So yes, that's the scenario. That's the the scenario with this podcast, and that's the idea behind this. So, I mean, we're gonna take up. We're gonna invite some guests also. I mean, like, leading experts in their fields. Some of them, like, really, you'll be glad to to listen to them and to their research, their impactful research, in fact. So. In this episode, I'm going to talk about my research. So my name is Naman Jain, and I work at Institute of Economic Growth. As of now, I am a research assistant with Professor Basanta Pradhan at Development Planning Center, right, of this institute. So Institute of Economic Growth is basically, it's the premier institute of the country, of India. And it's actually the Autonomous Institute of Government of India under ICSSR division of Ministry of Education, Government of India. So, yes. So, coming back to, like, what I actually do is, like, I deal with computable general equilibrium at this moment. And I've been developing some of the, like, some input output tables from the data that is available from Ministry of Statistics and program implementation. So at this moment I'm converting supply use table for three different years, the latest ones, right? So, and we're converting into input output table, and then further we'll be doing it into social accounting matrix, which gives a complete idea of national economy on paper. So that's the idea behind developing this, and then we can take up some of the pressing issues of the economy of this of Indian economy, and we can try to simulate and I understand how this will impact the economy, and what measures can we take, and the policy implementations of it. So yes, it's a bit of ambitious project, but it's nothing like that we can't achieve. So yeah, input output table is very important. This concept, this idea was developed by Professor Vasily Leontief. He was a Nobel Prize winner, of course. You get a Nobel Prize for doing such a remarkable work. Yeah, it indeed. So it opens up a good chance, good opportunity to analyze deeply any country's economy. And my background comes from I come from a STEM background, basically engineering. So irrespective of that, I've studied physics as well, and I do a lot of mathematics, pure mathematics. So the thing is, with having a STEM background, it gives you an opportunity to do a root cause analysis, and on when you study economics, and economics is great, but I think I promote a STEM with economics, because economics is science, basically some sort of science. It's basically you have to understand what is going on, and that involves part of science, part of technology, part of engineering, and part of mathematics. So it's a conglomerate, basically, and again, I mean, like bringing in social welfare from science, from economics, sorry, pardon me, from economics. So this becomes a deadly combination, and then, you know, like it gives a very good results, you know, and you know, it gives you opportunity to develop and invent. So that's why I chose economics, having a STEM background, and because, you know, you can bring in all the elements together, and you know, you can do applicable work for the society. For, I mean, the idea behind doing is like, you know, for the improvement and for analyzing the social welfare about the future, studying the past, implementing in the present, and seeing how the future will react. So that's the idea. So again, I mean, like, I have a couple of projects running on right now, and one of them, as I told you, is converting supply use table to input output table, and then further to social accounting matrix. And I mean, I've been doing a couple of other works also. I mean, usually we do as young economists, and you know, early career economists, so we do a lot of book reviews, we read books, some good ones, definitely. I mean, like, I'm very fond of reading, like, in terms of journals, I'm very fond of reading, you know, Quarterly Journal of Economics, American Economic Review, again, I mean, Journal of Political Science. I mean, like, top 5-10 journals. I don't mind reading the other half also, other journals also. But then, I mean, like, my main focus remains on the top 10. So I have developed a list of it, and then I go about those journals. And yeah, I mean, like, reading them, it's great. It gives you a perspective about what exactly the other economists, leading economists, world top economists think, and how they think, how they find the problem. So what is the vision that we need? How do we need to develop that kind of a vision? So it gives you that kind of thing. And in the meanwhile, I mean, I also, you know, like, study a lot of PhD candidates, students, basically PhD students' work, I mean, such as job market papers, and some of their papers, if they have written. So I have to go through each and every profile and of the graduate students, PhD graduate students, and you know, like, see how they're coming up with the research, because they're the new ones, they're the new guns, and they will be, you know, like, they've done things. So yeah, I mean reading them is a great experience. And in terms of Indian economy, I mean, Indian economy is a bit of shaky at this moment. We're going through a lot of recession. I mean, per my analysis, I wouldn't say, I mean, it has been declared by the government, but then yeah, per my analysis, it's going under recession. So far, we're doing good, and then bringing back the economy to, you know, like, to a good trend, to a good boom. But then, I mean, yeah, we were very slow in that terms. We are very, very slow. Again, I mean, Indian economy is big. I mean, we say the problem is population. I said no, it's not population, because it's not population. It's when we have a good structure of government, you know, governing the country, you know, the micro level structure. So I don't see, I mean, like, why, I mean, population should be a problem. Though we need to understand, like, how much we need to, you know, how much we need to have in terms of number of people, because, you know, like, I mean, again, I mean, like, but I mean, I see the problem is basically population density. I mean, we've been doing some sort of research on this also to prove that, yeah, I mean, it's not population exactly, but population density, and it's further down the line in terms of population density and the problem of migration, which again contributes to population density and everything. So yeah, we're doing some sort of research on that also. Let's see how this comes up. Should be able to, you know, produce in some time. And then we were figuring out, like, you know, I have this very ambitious project of, you know, understanding what would happen if the government, in a special scenario, like, you know, special scenario of an economic crisis, takes charge of price. So I mean, like, what if the government controls the price in that special scenarios? If the government passes an order, a special memo or something, a GO, and, like, you know, stating that the price control has been in under this circumstance and for particularly this time period. I mean, like, the government is taking charge of the prices and controls. So I mean, the price ceiling and the price flooring is under government's hand now, of any industry in the, for that matter, so that, you know, like, we can, you know, we can balance it with the purchasing power of the people of the country, of the economy, in fact. So I mean, that's one project we're dealing, and we want to see how different, you know, like, how the trade policy, how the monetary policy, and how the fiscal policy will react to such a, like, such a governing method in special circumstance, and that deals with, you know, especially the economic crisis only, because I mean, in a normal scenario, we don't want the government to be controlling prices, because again, because the private and the public, I mean, what will hinder, and the private sector will be like, you know, like, will be totally against it, so won't be happening. But in a special scenario, I mean, a special circumstance such as economic crisis, I mean, like we saw in, like, COVID-19, I mean, had the government taken control of price, so how would have, I mean, like, how this would have reacted, the trade policy, monetary policy, and fiscal policy. So this is one of the works that we are looking forward to produce very soon. And yeah, I mean, like, I deal with sustainability a lot, so I mean, like, we're trying to figure out some sort of modernized, you know, definition and concept for sustainability, which brings in a lot of elements together, rather than just natural capital or natural resources in the place. So yeah, we're working on a lot of things, but then, you know, since the intensity of the work is quite big, and we are looking that we do understand the impact that it will create will be very large. So yeah, it is taking its own time, and we're working with its pace. We're not rushing into anything, any conclusions, right? So yeah, these are some of the research that we are looking forward to producing in some time. And as far the STEM part goes, I mean, like, the science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. I think mathematics, I mean, there are a lot of unsolved problems the field of mathematics has. I mean, such as Collatz conjecture. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I mean, like, I've tried giving a shot at solving Collatz, but I have seen the problem, and I've worked through it, and, you know, I've seen the work of other leading mathematicians and physicists and other, you know, leading experts. So the thing is, like, what I've seen is, like, the problem is, it has two parts. One where it has a decremental, you know, like, a setup that is n by 2, if fn is equal to n by 2. So if n is, what do you call, even, right? So it divides by it, the number divides by 2, divide itself by 2. So, but if it is odd, such as 1, 3, 5, 7, 9, so what happens then is, like, the number multiplies number multiplies itself by 3 and adds 1 to it. So this is an incremental, you know, like, part of it. But what I see is, like, the series won't terminate. Like, there is no terminator, right? So if this problem does not have a terminator, I'm not saying that, like, it should have a very definitive, but some sort of, like, how this problem will end, because this problem becomes a loop, not the 4-to-1 loop, right? Because the problem comes down to 4 and then 2 and 1. So yeah, I mean, I'm not talking about the 4-to-1, but then that is an infinite loop, I know that, but because it becomes that 4-to-1, 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 it keeps going on. But then the idea is, like, having some sort of terminator, like, how do you want to end the problem? So I think, I mean, the problem is correct in itself, but I think it's incomplete. So I mean, as we, if someone has seen Star Trek and, you know, like, knows Captain James Tiberius Kirk very well, so I think Kobayashi Maru is, I think, you know, certainly in play for this Collatz conjecture. And I think some of the leading mathematicians should look into, you know, like redesigning this problem with its initial conditions intact. I'm not saying it should, this problem needs to be ended at 2 to the power, if n is equal to 2 to the power, let's just say 64 or like 128, whatever the number they want to think, like, no. But what will be the number, like what sort of condition we have, like, you know, to have this problem terminate so that it occurs at some sort of, like, you know, some sort of number which is very, 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 very big, large. I'm not saying what number that would be, what, how many digits that number would have, but then, yeah, like, we need to understand, like, where need to we that this problem is incomplete, because I mean, in one of the mathematicians word, mathematics is not ready for such kind of problems. And true, because the thing is that the problem does not have a terminator. I mean, let's just say the number is 10, n is equal to 10. So how do we solve this thing? How this will come down to a series? That would be 10 divided by 5, 10 divided by 2 is equal to 5. So 5 is odd, so it multiplies by 3 and adds 1 to itself, so it becomes 16. So 16 divided by 2, 8, 8 divided by 2, 4, 4 divided by 2 is 2, 2 divided by 2 is 1. So again, 1, you know, like 1 into 3 is like 3 plus 1, 4. So it becomes 4 to 1, the loop becomes 4 to 1 loop, and it's an infinite loop. So, I mean, like, there is no terminator if you see this. So, I mean, like, you take any number, it will come down to, you know, like 4 to 1. So that's the thing. And after a while, you know, if you, the number can be as big as anything. And because at the end of the day, the series will, you know, like, the series will repeat itself after number falls down, you know, decrements itself by 2, you know, halves it by 2. So it will repeat. So the trend will repeat. So that's one of the things that I've observed in Collard's conjecture, right? I mean, the problem needs to be redefined with some sort of terminator, or like maybe something else. But this problem is like, it's an infinite loop, so it won't be able, nobody would be able to solve this. I mean, like, come what may, I mean, I'm not trying to be arrogant, but sort of like, I'm confident on it, because I've tried programming this, I've tried, you know, played with graphs and everything. So yeah, I mean, like, I might be releasing a short sort of a working paper, or maybe a discussion note, a detailed discussion note on this thing soon. And the other one is Riemann's hypothesis, which is, again, I mean, like, it's a very good problem. And as well as Navier-Stokes smoothness and existence, I mean, that's beautiful problems, two beautiful problems. I've started to make an attempt on these two problems, but I really need to study what exactly Riemann says or Navier-Stokes equation says. Though, I mean, like, I'm very much familiar with Navier-Stokes equation, but again, I mean, in terms of you know, solving, because we talk about the existence and smoothness of it. So yeah, I mean, like, I need to understand what has been done, even if it is wrong. I mean, like, no matter if some of the solutions provided were wrong, or like whatever it was, I mean, like, if they were not like convincing, or they were not significant. So yeah, I mean, like, I really need to study the background of it. What has been done, how many attempts have been made, and what sort of literature we have on it, and including Riemann. I mean, I do mathematics. I mean, like, I play with mathematics, I mean, because as a hobby, and it keeps me, you know, like, on track. It gives me some sort of relaxation and everything. Yeah. And plus, I mean, like, we use mathematics on a daily basis, economics as well as, you know, when we do some sort of science or physics, basically, and or engineering. So yeah, I mean, like, the level of math is same as we do in solving these problems or other relative problems. Yeah, that's fun. But in terms of engineering world, I mean, like, nothing great so far has been conducted. That's what my observation is. But then I am quite sure that the engineers, scientists, you know, aerospace scientists, mechanical scientists, mechanical engineers, everyone, I mean, they must be working on something, you know, like, big and something very unique. not the product wise, but some sort of technology wise, material wise, and computational wise. So yeah, I am quite sure, but I think that it needs to be out. Because I mean, like, you know, these 2 years of COVID, 2 or 3 years of COVID, it has created some sort of lag, right? And we've not been like, we have redirected ourselves, and you know, like, we have redirected and you know, like, focus more, refocus towards the health industry and you know, like, health research and pharmacology research because of this health crisis that we had. And we, like, we're on a verge of, you know, like, passing by it. But yeah, I mean, like, we'll be working on like more on chemical sides and chemistry and pharmacology, biotechnology, medicine, and which was needed for the for that time. But yeah, we can again redistribute our thoughts and focus towards all other fields as well. So yeah, I mean, that's probably from my side in this episode, I would say. And looking forward to the next one with a guest with me. So let's see. I'll keep that for surprise. I don't want to disclose. I have someone very special who will be discussing his research. Until then, good. Do take care. Thank you very much. This is Naman Jain signing off from this pilot episode. Hope you enjoy. Thank you.